Our gospel lesson this evening comes from the book of St. Luke, beginning in the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. We rely on being able to do some things automatically without even thinking about them or thinking about a way through them. Things like tying our shoelaces or riding a bike are the results of skills that we've learned, and we've learned them so well that our bodies perform them without fail. For those of you who can remember stick shifts in cars, four on the floor, if you will, once learned, it becomes automatic. Other things, like putting on the seatbelt, are habits we have developed so fully that we no longer realize that we're doing them. But in other parts of our lives, we don't want to be automatic. We don't want to be on automatic pilot or to rely on program skills or habits to get us through. In some situations, we need to give our full attention and demand the same degree of attention from others. Spouses can quickly tell the difference between an automatic "I love you" and a heartfelt expression of genuine love. Our kids can tell the difference between an automatic "What did you do in school today?" and a parent's honest, authentic interest in the events that are going on in their lives. Friends can tell the difference between an automatic "How are you?" and the compassionate reaching out of one soul to another. It is amazing, and I guess amusing, how we have convinced ourselves that God hasn't yet caught on to the difference between our expressions of genuine spirituality and our automatic rote readings or chanting of the Lord's Prayer. How many times have you recited the Lord's Prayer in worship, or at weddings, or at funerals, with your mind and your spirit on full automatic? The words are so familiar that we can be on cruise control for the entire prayer. For too many people, in too many situations, the Lord's Prayer has become little more than a meaningless mantra. Or even worse, a kind of good luck saying. One Christian recalls this tendency in what I think is an amusing kind of story. He writes, "I remember reciting that, the Lord's Prayer, with my high school football team for 4 years. Every Friday night, right before we'd go out to play, the whole team would gather around in one moment of sanity as together we prayed the Lord's Prayer and ended it with, 'Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.' Then 2 or 3 seconds later, we'd all scream, 'Let's kill him.' The tragedy of that story is that it demonstrates how the very prayer Jesus gave us to keep us spiritually alive and alert and not tied to praying simply vain repetitions, we've managed to turn it into the biggest repetition of all. Today's text also talks about staying in the Spirit. Jesus promised us that we could stay fresh and alive and plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask, he insisted, and you will receive it. Not just some of us, not just those with special gifts, but everyone. Ask, and you will receive. In fact, Jesus gave his disciples their own prayer so that they might be able to live being wired in the Spirit. The Lord's Prayer was never intended to be a creed or a catechism repeated exactly the same by all Christians at every stage of their life. The Lord's Prayer is only a template, a blueprint, showing us how we can gain access to the power and love and grace God offers to us on a daily basis. Here's how that breaks down. Our Father in heaven is teaching us whom to address our prayers to. The Father. Hallowed be thy name is telling us to worship God and praise him for who he is. The phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a reminder to us that we are to pray for God's plan in our lives and the world, not just our own plan, not just when we want something. We are to pray for God's will to be done, not for our desires, but for God's will. We are encouraged to ask God for things we need in give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we have also forgiven our trespassers. It reminds us to confess our sins to God and to turn from them and also to forgive others as God has forgiven us. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation but deliver us from the evil one, it's a plea for help in achieving victory over sin and a request for protection from the attacks of the devil. But to stay vitally connected in the Spirit, we must expand our understanding of the Lord's Prayer and view it not as a repetition of words, but as a repetition of certain attitudes, practices, and relationships. Staying connected in the Spirit has at least 3 components. The first is daily prayer. The Lord's Prayer was not intended as a daily prayer. It only points to the fact that our Father wants to hear from us every day. Jesus counseled his disciples to be persistent in prayer to the point of peskiness. I found a story about a young Jimmy, 4 years old. Jimmy likes to get up at 5 a.m., weekdays, weekends, holidays, winter, summer, 5 a.m., every day. He immediately climbs into bed with his parents with a series of specific requests, a Pop-Tart, orange juice, and a video. Every morning, his parents groan sleepily and tell him to go back to bed because it's just too early. Yet every morning, Jimmy prevails. Not because they love him, not because he's a joyful child,
not because they want him to be happy. They give in because they want him to go away. His persistence pays off. Likewise, Jesus encourages his disciples to go continually into God's presence in prayer. But God, unlike human parents, delights in our clamoring in prayer all hours of the day and night. Little Jimmy would not defeat God. Number two, daily scripture reading. This does not mean books of scholarship about scripture, or study guides, or manuals for investigating scripture. So these are key growth agents in the life of faith. But prior to that, it's the ability simply to steep yourself in the Word through repeated readings of the Bible. The men and women of the Old and New Testament should not be strangers to us. They are our family. We are related to them in the faith. Daily reading soaked in the stories of our tradition will make for a stronger, fuller, richer faith. We can only remain spiritually fresh by consistently feeding and watering the roots of our faith. Those that are found in Scripture. It remains a miraculous gift of God because despite its antiquity, despite its misuse by the church, despite its abuse by its doubters and its overuse by literalists, it still speaks a fresh word from God to us each and every day. And finally, a third way to maintain our spiritual connection is developing a daily relationship with others. Reading the Word and praying to God are faith mantras we must exercise on our own. But we must also read and pray and praise and question in small groups. We need that communal contact with everyday faith in our lives. Hence the reason for coming to church. Part of our spiritual freshness depends on opening our hearts and spirits to the sounds and the sights of other Christians. We need to be involved in groups where the members are spiritually connected to one another. It is a good sign of the times that prayer meetings are coming back into popularity again. Small groups meeting in someone's home. I'm still divided on whether or not the internet or TV evangelism counts as a type of prayer meeting. Not sure. Jesus didn't teach his disciples the Lord's Prayer as a mantra to recite day in and day out. He taught them because religion had become a mere outward form, simply repetition for many people at that time. How awful that for many people these days, this prayer again has become a form that they hardly think about. Simply repetition to them. May this not be the case for you and for me. That the contents of the Lord's Prayer really be a prayer from your heart, a prayer that helps us to love God, to live His holy glory, and to do His will in all things, to keep us in the Spirit, to help us stay in the Spirit each and every day of our lives. Amen.